Hey there, you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of the Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at kmuz.org. This is where we shine a light on partnerships and programs that can serve our beautiful natural resources here in Marion County. We are illuminating our Conservation District's mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for both urban and agricultural audiences. And I'm your host, Jenny Ammon, Natural Resource Educator with Marion SWCD. And on this episode, we are talking with Amy Boyd, Marion SWCD's District Manager. She's a new hire, but very familiar with the Pacific Northwest, and we are excited to have her on the team. We will talk about her background and her conservation career path that led her here. Also, her latest position with the Cowlitz Tribe, and get some details about vision forward for the district. Also, very important questions, some of her favorite places to explore in our beautiful region, too. So welcome, everyone. And Amy, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. I would love to get the audience to know a little bit more about you. Would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I was actually born in a very rural community in the Cascades of Washington. My parents had came out from Ohio before I was born and built a log cabin in the woods, every Midwesterner's dream. And I was pretty fortunate to get to grow up in a small community. It was during spotted owl listing, so it was an interesting time to grow up in a small community. I moved away for college and did not go back to my small town, but I ended up on the Washington coast in another small town. Actually, I started off working for a juvenile justice facility doing clerical work, and I decided that my English literature degree really wasn't going to cut it. So I took OSU's early distance education program and got a natural resources degree, started working in planning. That was a pretty difficult role for me, in particular, because I really prefer a non-regulatory approach to resource-related issues. And also a lot of times planning is being responsive to what people are planning to do in terms of development rather than, being a resource or a way that people can start thinking about how they could do something, better than what has been done in the past. So, after I had worked for Pacific County Planning, I was looking for something that was non-regulatory. I took a position with the Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force, or CREST, in Astoria, Oregon, in fall of 2007. It was right actually before the major windstorm that hit the coast that year. And it was a really interesting time because I was working on some projects that one of my major projects was on a river called Grays River, and there had been a lot of effects from flooding on the rural agricultural community there. And I worked with that community and actually joined the Grange in Grays River as part of my my work with the community to work on how to have the response reach the area that was downriver of a canyon to be more stable, because we were having issues with the spawning population. One of the few naturally remaining chum spawning populations spawns in that response reach. So we were working on trying to stabilize that channel. And it was a really interesting time to really grow my project management skills. I also really enjoyed working with a rural community. Although our organization was in Astoria, I primarily focused on the Washington projects, in part because of my background in planning. I also did a project under US 101, allowing juveniles to have access to a high quality wetland area that otherwise they were blocked by riprap and a highway. So that was a really interesting growth period in my career. A lot of times those small organizations, they have growth positions that are available for young professionals that really allow a lot of responsibility early on in your career. And it was really a strong opportunity for me to be able to work there. I did have some personal changes that occurred towards the end of the time I was living on the coast. And I decided that I was going to take a job in Longview, Washington. And I worked for the Cowlitz County Public Works as a project manager for a few years, and then moved on to working for the Cowlitz Tribe. And at the Cowlitz Tribe, I did similar projects to what I had done at Crest. And then I moved into doing forestry and policy related projects, and concluded my time there as a policy analyst before coming and joining the Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. On the personal side of the equation, I have a blended family of 5 kids. We have 3 sons and a daughter that are, let's see, we have a 10th grader, 11th grader, 12th grader, and a freshman in college right now. And we have a toddler. She's 2.5. And our 2 daughters are going to be in Salem with us. And our 3 sons are, well, 2 of our sons, 1 is in Boston, attending Boston University, and 2 are up in Longview finishing their high school career. They're my stepsons. So they're staying with their mom to finish where they're comfortable with their friends and their school group. And so we have a small farm up in Longview, and we will be continuing to go up there for a short period of time while our boys finish school, and we figure out how to move on to the farm down here, because finding farmland in Marion County is a lot harder than in Longview. So right now we're just on a small lot in town. So that's a lot about me.
You have so many ages and stages inside and outside of your household that I think that deserves a gold medal. That is a lot to keep track of. I wanted to ask you a couple follow-up questions based upon your experience. And one of the things that I noticed as you were speaking was the amount of planning that you had. And one of the things that stuck out to me was a non-regulatory, which is exactly where the conservation district is. We get to do what you just spoke about, being responsive versus authoritative, and here's your fine. So how do you see that kind of marrying here with the district?
It's one of the reasons I was drawn to working for a conservation district. I'd worked with conservation districts up in Washington, and I really appreciated the relationship that the conservation districts have with the community and the ability to do work with the community as part of the community by having an elected board from the community that oversees the work that we do, as well as having programs that benefit community members. Such as our landowner assistance program and our CLEAR grants, which are for education, environmental education. So I really, really am excited to be part of this team and be able to work on doing projects that are for the community, by the community, with the assistance of our staff and team.
Absolutely. Well, we're excited to have you on board. And I think you've shown us the support through picking up the pieces we've had a crazy year and a half, but we've really used those grants to lift folks back up and do things a little different, try to fund things differently and support sustainable projects, which is the best thing we can do as far as responsiveness goes locally. I did want to ask just a few other questions about, was it 7 years that you worked with the Cowlitz Tribe?
Yes.
That's awesome. So I love to ask the biggest takeaways. So what are some of the biggest takeaways or lessons that you gained while working with the tribe?
Well, one of the things that I did learn, I was working in policy for a substantial amount of that time, was really interesting to watch commercial and industrial projects move through, because it was a large component of my portfolio, was reviewing them on behalf of the tribe and then offering comments to my director and chairman to weigh in on the projects that were in process. And what was really interesting to me from the planning side, as you mentioned, is that a lot of times really small projects like a residential project receive quite a bit of review. And if you look at the size of the project and the amount of review, it's disproportionately much higher than the industrial and commercial projects. And so I really was interested in the gaps between the different permitting process when the Corps would say, you know, to a very small landowner, you need to go and do this wetland delineation, and you need to do all this mitigation for your projects. And then there would be a major project, and they would say, well, we can just do a 30-page environmental assessment on this project. It's not a major project. Or we can only look at the connected actions and then have a very narrow view of what those connected actions were. And I'm not really picking on the Corps. They're just, everybody knows who the Corps is, or most people do. So using that as an example, it was part of the reason I decided to go back to school at Lewis and Clark law school. I've been working on a master's there the last 3.5 years. I think I'm the longest master's program there, because it's really only a 1-year program, but I've been doing it so slowly. But I was really interested in some of the federal programs and how and why certain things are done the way they are, so that we could leverage the tribe's influence at the most critical junctures to encourage industrial and commercial agents projects to be more consistent with the expectations of the entire community, not just the expectations of the large projects review. So that was really interesting to me. That was a big takeaway, was the difference between what a major, and I'm not saying that they don't go through a lot of review. They do. They spend a giant amount of money and time on those projects, but right. It just seems disproportionate to what you see in a smaller individual review, say for a home or for a small business or an ag project.
That's a great takeaway.
And the other thing was, I really, really enjoyed working with a lot of partners. I got to do a lot of work up with the Pincho Partners, which is a forest collaborative out of the north zone of the Gibbon Pincho. Mm-hmm. And we had all sorts of different community engagement or in community people, economic development. We had environmental organizations, we had the tribe. And I really enjoyed getting to work with all of those people and begin really kind of framing. I mean, the Pincho Partners has been around for 20 years. So I was just a cog in the wheel, but we were continuing the work of the previous 15 and then to 20 years in the time that I was working with them as well, to be able to say, we're really able to add some certainty to the environmental assessment process for the Forest Service and incorporate these multiple views and create some really fun forest projects, forest health projects, recovery projects. The Cowlitz tribe actually right now is partnering with the Forest Service to do a major in-river project. And there's multiple parties throughout. And it's really fun to watch when a whole bunch of people can put their heads together and do major work across a landscape.
Absolutely. The greater good. So those partnerships are huge. Those things bring a lot of benefits, not just to the project itself, but when the community sees public and private partnering, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, the challenge is always to get it out to people not immediately in the projects. That's a challenge I think almost every entity is facing right now, because big projects can be happening just out of sight. And it's really important to make sure that people understand how much value they're getting from the agencies around them.
Well, that 7 years sounds like there was a lot of learning and a lot of lessons. And I just want to take a little break and remind folks, you're listening to the Conservation Spotlight, which is a regular segment of the Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. And we are speaking with Amy Boyd, our district manager for Marion SWCD. And so I wanted to follow up with some of your past experience with, we are celebrating as an agency 50 years of conservation in Marion County this year. So that's something to celebrate in general, but I would love to dive in and hear your ideas on vision forward for the district in our next, 50 years. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to say 50 years, but just your vision forward for the district.
We've been working on that as a staff, and I'm really excited about it because I think that we are in a growth phase, growth mindset as a team, and we've just started the process of visioning where we want to go in the next 10 years. So I'll share what my vision is, and then in the next 6 months to 10 months, hopefully we will have something that's a little more formalized that we're sharing at our public meetings, which are board meetings that happen the first Wednesdays of every month. The thing that I'd really like to do is I'd like to take the programs we already have. We have some pretty great programs. I pulled up the details for last fiscal year, and we funded 51 projects worth $295,000 just in the landowner assistance program. That's a big amount of potential change on the ground. And what I'd like to do with the LAP program, the landowner assistance program, is to take that and to leverage it even further than it already is being leveraged, to tie in with other partnerships, to strategically evaluate how we are moving our projects forward, I'd like to use the financial and technical resources that we have to advance even further the soil and water priorities of our district. And I think what that means to me in this particular context is I'd really like to focus on two areas that we already are working in, but right now we are not necessarily focused on these areas as separate areas. And I think that they need to be separate because we have different perspectives looking forward. And one is our urban audience and one is our agricultural community. And I say audience and community because I think that you really do have two different types of clients in those situations. So in our urban environment, we are needing to reach out to people in a different way because we have several communities, and then we have communities within our cities, and we are reaching a lot of them through a lot of different ways, but more strategically focusing on urban programs. One of them maybe being the Backyard Habitat Program, which I understand is very popular in the Portland area. Mm-hmm. We get requests from people to help them set up their backyard to be a habitat. There's a lot of potential programming associated with that. And that type of activity really does help people understand and implement conservation activities. Because by having native plants, pollinator plants, we are helping support the urban habitat. We're also helping filter stormwater, which is a big problem in urban environments. So we have some different things that we can work on in our urban side. And then on the agricultural community side, I think that we could really be working on bringing some additional resources into the community to help our agricultural producers preserve and protect their farmlands, particularly our medium and small family farms and our hobby farms. Keeping open spaces, keeping productive working lands is something that I'm pretty passionate about. As I mentioned earlier, I grew up in a timber community during the spotted owls, forest-wide close shutdowns. So Understanding that working lands are really critical to the families that work them is something that is ingrained in my cells. And also it's our food production. There's a lot of other things in addition to it being aesthetically pleasing and important to the incomes of the people who manage or own the land. So I would like to see if we can bring some additional resources in or adapt resources that are already available, but maybe are not being widely advertised. And some of those things might be looking at agricultural conservation easements where the farmer has all of their rights intact and they're getting paid to not develop the land. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see if those kinds of tools are available for our farmers. And that's an area that I am learning about. Having come from Washington, I'm coming up to speed on what resources are available to Oregonians and agricultural producers.
I think that vision forward is something attainable, which, as we all have found out, usually if we set super lofty goals, we sometimes don't get the chance to achieve. And I know for certain the Backyard Habitat Program would be a wonderful addition. I love that idea. And I also know that our smaller, medium-sized farms are, just like you mentioned earlier when you talk about the rules for residential and larger industrial projects when you were in Washington, you know, we have an opportunity to do more and to put more conservation on the ground and lift that effort up. So I'm super jacked. I hope everyone listening is excited as I am about that vision forward. I was going to ask you too, one of the things that is really exciting about the agency and the fact that we have our staff kind of spread throughout the district as well is that we've all experienced drought, ice storms, lack of water access, just really feeling the need for sustainability and conservation practices for both of those audiences you just spoke of. Any other additions to how the public can expect to see us respond to those larger issues?
The challenge is it's hard to predict what will happen next. I don't think anybody thought 2021 would be worse than 2020. So part of that is we have to adapt, but we do adapt. Part of the reason we had 51 projects this past year is because we were helping people respond to the ice storm, to the fire. We're trying to work with our partners to make sure that people have resources available to help them and to help help our area recover. We focus on soil and water conservation. So we really are trying to make sure that soil stays where it is, doesn't move downstream, and that the water isn't impacted by soil moving into it, which soil can carry all sorts of things like pesticides and manure and trash. I mean, we don't really talk about trash very much in the context of stormwater, but trash is a real problem in our streams. So we're trying to help make sure that the soil is stabilized after some of these major natural disasters, and also that the waterways are maintaining flow and are not being terribly affected. Obviously, we're going to have impacts, and we're going to see increasing temperatures and more extreme weather events. And I think that's part of the reason I see this as a time when we really can make some changes and try to leverage some additional resources, because it feels as though there's a sea change of people recognizing and wanting to buffer their life against some of these changes. Mm-hmm. And so as we're looking at ways that we can serve the community, we're also looking at ways that we can make sure that people can continue to be productive, that they're not suffering crop losses, that they're not, you know, they're not having their homes burned down. I haven't really been able to understand how our program works with forest health activities in the area yet, but that's obviously something that our district could get more into, as far as being more of a partner in that area with the Forest Service and different entities. But I, you know, none of us wants to see another fire, but it's likely, as our fire regime changes and we become more like California, the more we have hot, dry weather. So I really would like to see the community, our community, become more resilient, even as we are seeing more extreme weather events, if possible.
Absolutely. We just had a Senate bill go through, and I'm blanking on the name, but I will look it up and share it later. The fuel reduction is something that the Forest Service, Oregon Youth Conservation Corps, they're looking for projects and partners to make sure that we are doing exactly what you just spoke about. I'm terribly excited to work with watershed councils and the other partners to put those things on the ground, and at least the very least do outreach about it. And with your support and with our board support, really part of that larger vision is making sure we're responsive.
The Good Neighbor Authority, Washington started implementing it a few years ahead of Oregon. Oregon's just starting to set up to implement it through Department of Forestry, is my understanding. But the Good Neighbor Authority up in Washington has been used to help what's called the Department of Natural Resources up there do projects in partnership with the Forest Service, so that there's additional thinning, so that the forest is not as dense and is more fire resilient. So I'm pretty excited to see some of those things down here that I'm familiar with, because they've been really valuable tools. And we also did a lot of stewardship sales, which I understand aren't being really done out of our local forest down here, but stewardship sales were really nice because we were able to take all the funds that were generated on the Gifford Pinchot on a local level, and we were able to directly put those back into the project area that we were working on, the watershed, the subwatershed that we were working on, to do additional work such as culvert replacements and even additional thinning projects that weren't commercially viable.
That's wonderful. Conservation on the ground. Well, Amy, I know that we scratched the surface with you, but we are just so happy that we got to host you as our guest on this edition. But I would love to give you a chance as we wrap up. Any thoughts you'd like to share with folks listening about you, about the future, about district? The floor is all yours.
Well, thank you. I would like to share that although I've shared some of my ideas for the district, I would really love to hear other people's ideas. I've been talking with our staff about it and our board, because this is the community's organization that really is set up to serve the community, to preserve soil and water quality throughout our community. So if people have ideas, give us a call.
Absolutely. Amy, I would love to. Do you mind if, as a follow-up, we can share emails?
Yes.
Or phones? So our phone number at the district will direct you to any of our staff, whether it's education or native invasive plant specialists. The district phone number is 503-391-9927.
Thank you, Jenny. I really appreciate that. And I'd love to hear people's ideas about ways we might be able to serve and provide resources to the community to have that resiliency in the face of climate change and to also be able to provide day-to-day services that help you be more productive or have more education or resources. Jenny is our education and outreach specialist, and she does a phenomenal job with students of all ages. So we also have education resources that can come out to your school or your facility and teach you about soil health and all sorts of good stuff. So
awesome. We love it. I love that you're asking the public for input because that's why we're here. They saw a problem in the Dust Bowl and they said, we need to make sure we have an agency that will preserve and protect soil and water. And so, Amy, thank you for that so much. I will follow up with KMUZ with emails and we'll give that phone number again. We would love to hear from you both for educational and extra resources that we can provide you on the ground. So I've been talking with Amy Boyd, Marion SWCD's district manager, and I'm your host, Jenny Ammon, natural resources educator for the district. And thank you so much for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We're grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. And if you'd like more information, check out our website, marionswcd.net, or jump on our Facebook page. And upcoming programs, folks, November 5th is our second First Friday, and we get to talk with ODA specialists about the Ag Channel Maintenance Program and their updates concerning that. And our next Conservation Spotlight in November will host Chong Ki Tan, Marion SWCD's board member, permaculture farmer, and he's so much more. So tune in on the third Wednesday of every month during the Willamette Wake Up. And thanks for listening and shining your light.